Hi, everybody, and welcome to the City of Lakeland's Vibecast. I'm Liz Holliday, the digital content specialist with the City of Lakeland's Communications Department, and over the next few months, we will be rolling out a few Lakeland-themed podcasts. This one is our Vibe Podcast, or Vibecast. We have a Vibe video series that highlights arts and culture in Lakeland, but is designed to be short. Vibecast is designed to give listeners a more in-depth look at our community's artists. In January of 2018, I met up with filmmaker Kevin O'Brien at Hillcrest Coffee to play Carcassonne, have snacks, coffee, and of course, chat about his business, Journey Box Media, and the making of his first feature-length film. Enjoy! So you're in Lakeland now, but where, like, how did you get, I can't remember, how did you get here?
Oh,
where are you from?
I did most of my growing up in Virginia, in Gloucester, Virginia. Okay. But my dad was in the Coast Guard, so we moved around a good bit, including, so since you got the lake, you get to go again. And you, these don't have to be just in front of me. Like, these are for all of us, both of us. Dad was in the Coast Guard, so we moved around a lot, and then he retired in Virginia when I was about 12. So I did, and we just stayed there. So all of my growing up years, adolescence, teenager, that was in Virginia, and then I came to Lakeland to go to Southeastern, which was college at the time.
Okay, but you came specifically to go to Southeastern.
Yep.
Like, you wouldn't have come any other.
Yep, my youth pastor went to Southeastern, and I thought I was going to be a youth pastor for my whole life, so I thought I'm going to go to Southeastern. Yeah, I minored in communication, and I was about halfway through, I almost switched. They didn't have any specific film department at the time. It was all just mass communication. Mm-hmm. I almost switched because I loved like the TV classes, the few that we had. But then it was mass communication, so I would have had to take like journalism and all this stuff I didn't care about because I hated writing. So I just stayed with youth ministry.
Okay, so, and then you and your wife, Teresa, did you meet in Virginia or Southeastern?
We did. We were high school sweethearts.
So did you know her for more than high school?
Yeah, we met when we were like 10, 9 and 10. Went to the same church. So grew up in children's church together and then youth group. And she went to Southeastern as well. I was a year ahead. So we spent one torturous year apart as I was down in Southeastern and she was back home in Virginia.
Okay, so did you like Southeastern? Don't worry, we can cut this part.
No. I enjoyed my time while I was there. I think I would have enjoyed my time anywhere though because I was outside of my house. You know, like, conservative Christian kid growing up. It's not like our house was like crazy strict, but it was definitely sheltered. So
right.
I was like 18, yay, I can do whatever I want. Which just meant playing video games with my friends until 3 in the morning.
Okay, so you went to Southeastern, and then what did you do after you guys, like, did you want to stay in Lakeland? Did you plan on staying in Lakeland?
Or? We did not plan on staying in Lakeland. But we got connected with Oasis Community Church and kind of changed the whole perspective because we just found this like amazing community and decided that we'd rather just like get a regular job and just volunteer at Oasis because they didn't have any paid staff at the time. So that's what we did. So when I graduated, I worked at Geico.
Oh, you did?
Yep.
Wait, Geico was here then?
Yeah. Oh, so long ago when I graduated. So long ago. Geico existed?
Was it still off in the warehouse area?
By the airport? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's how they keep costs low, is they build offices in the middle of nowhere so it's not expensive.
It's
smart.
True.
It's smart.
It's true. That's where everything is now.
Now everything is there. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so you worked at Geico, and then you were volunteering at Oasis.
Yeah, and at some point, I started doing graphics, and at some point, I got hired on at Oasis to do for at first was graphics, like Photoshop stuff, which I just I didn't know how to do. I self-taught. I got a copy. Probably nice. You did. Somehow got a copy of Photoshop and taught myself. All right, so you get 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 points.
Yes.
I think you're allowed to walk in. How you doing? Oh, cookies.
Thank you. Okay, so you're working at Oasis. What happened? Just what happened?
I'm going to do a whole thing.
What happened after that?
Man. I guess I'd say, I mean, at one point I was leading worship there and doing youth ministry, still doing the creative element of things, graphics and stuff. Mm-hmm. And at some point I realized, I started doing some original shorts for some of our services, short films. Mm-hmm. And at some point I realized that creative area is what like fed me, fed my soul, and not so much teenagers. So eventually I shifted kind of over a long transition period. Basically, I became the creative director at Oasis, and was no longer doing youth ministry. And then in the creative, while I was a creative director, I basically found my love for film. And so that's where I feel like my life started.
Okay.
Like when I was like 28, 29, 30. When I was 30, I felt like I kind of had an idea of maybe this is what I'm supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Or this is what I want to do. So, yeah. So I started a little bit later than.
Okay, yeah, because I know you do film now.
I do film now.
So tell me about how you got to, Journey Box and.
Yeah. At Oasis, we would use, we would do some original short film things, but not all the time. And so we would use stuff that other producers had made. And there's like this whole industry of church-related media products. And most of them are not fantastic, are not to a production level or writing level or anything that they could be. And so I kind of quickly figured out that I could do those better than the people making money on them. And so started selling a few, and then kind of took that was probably like my first big leap. It was in 2011, so I started Journey Box Media. Slowly, over a year and a half, kind of built up our library. Mm-hmm. And what we do is write and produce and direct and like create our own films and put them online, and hopefully pastors buy them to use in their services. So I've been doing that for 6 years now.
How many do you think of those do you do, I don't know, per year? Do you have an average?
My first year, I think I did like 20. Like my first year I was like, because I had to build the library and I was just like, let's make something. But since then I've kind of settled into about 10 or 12 a year. And usually when someone asks what I do and I tell them, their first question is, oh, you can make a living at that? Like, that's what you do? And yeah. I mean, it's not like insane, but we have been able to do that pretty well the past couple of years.
It's awesome that you can do that too.
Yeah, and I take for granted a lot that I'm working in, like I didn't go to film school, so I always was a little self-conscious about calling myself a filmmaker, and even the term film, you know, like I considered films like movies, like, you know, something big. I don't know, there's this like balance of, there's this awesome freedom in being able to write, you know, like not having a client tell you like, I want a video about this, please make me this, and having to work with the client throughout the process. I thought I was gonna have to do a lot more of that work initially. And it turns out I didn't like that kind of work. So there's a great freedom in being able to just write whatever I want and make it and put it online. The problem is that a lot of times those don't sell.
Yeah.
You know, so like the payoff of the creative freedom is that you have to constantly be making stuff, or you have the potential of things that you care deeply about just not working or not selling.
Yeah.
And it seems like it turned out that the ones that were about the things that I felt strongest about weren't selling, because either you know, churches weren't talking about those sort of things. Things you would think churches would want to talk about, like unity and racism and
social
all of that.
Justice.
Social justice.
Yeah.
But it turns out, nope, not so much. So even though they should be.
How do you get all the people? Like in you have people in your videos. Is it all kind of volunteer? Like it's because it seems like the community, from what I've seen. Now I haven't been in one yet. I know we talked about this.
But, correct.
But I will.
Do you speak another language? Because I need people to speak another language.
I can
in English.
Vaguely speak Italian.
Go for it.
Like a
audition.
Right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Vorrei andare alla. Mi chiamo Elisabetta, ho studiato a Firenze 10 anni fa, e era bellissima.
Does that mean where is the bathroom?
No.
No?
I studied in Italy and it was beautiful.
You studied in Italy?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Now it's the Liz show.
Yeah, that's making it all about you. All right, so the question was, how do I get people in videos? When I first started Dreambox, I mean, thankfully I knew like a bunch of friends who had done theater acting. And one of my mentors who was a huge, you can take which road, it doesn't matter. They're
that's
both
too.
Mm-hmm. I should really get started on some points. one of my friends who was a big part on helping me creatively and really giving me creative confidence while I was being an art director at Oasis was Alan Reynolds, who is the director at Lakeland Community Theater.
Oh, okay.
He was on staff as a creative director, and I kind of shadowed him and learned from him for several years until the position at Community Theater came open, which was kind of that was his dream job. So he took that, and so I had some connections to like community theater actors, which are awesome. It's a different acting on stage than it is on film. But that was a great start to find some people. And then I really just used like a lot of friends. Like a lot of my stuff early on was much more just like real world, like a voiceover with seeing people do things. So I would just go to people's friends and say like, hey, go do this. And I'd record them and edit it together in a meaningful way. But lately, the past probably 3 or 4 years, I've started either auditioning people or putting out casting calls, and a big way who I've pulled from in the past 2 years is a lot of people who auditioned for my feature film. We did like a huge 2-month casting call for the feature film, and I've kind of been pulling that from that for the past couple of years. People from Tampa and Orlando and Lakeland and all that.
Okay, so tell me about that. Tell me about your film.
My movie?
Mm-hmm.
Our movie. I'm just saying that.
Yours and Teresa's?
Mine and Teresa's and everyone else that was involved because it was a beast. it's called At the End of the Day. I'm going to take finally 2 points.
Yay! You're going to annihilate me though. I mean,
I'm hoping. I know, I'm kind of
or
scattered.
Or maybe not. Maybe I'm going
to... It's true. None of my plans are really working. So At the End of the Day is a dramatic comedy. That's about a conservative Christian professor who finds himself in a gay support group to stop their launch of an LGBT youth shelter in their small town. That's the official log line description of the movie. That was a perfect piece. So it's a make you laugh, hopefully make you laugh, make you cry, definitely make you cry, but hopefully make you laugh and make you cry movie, really about how hard it is to see the world through other people's perspectives and how we grow up thinking the world is one way and that is true, that is our experience growing up, but it's really hard for us to step outside of that and believe someone else's story as true. To believe that their story is just as valid as ours. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The way I described that? Okay.
Yeah. So when did you start filming it?
We actually filmed it last, almost, like a year ago today. Well, 2 days ago is when we started production a year ago. So January 28th of 2017 was our first day of production. But I've been working on it for 4 years now, from initial like thought and idea to writing it to trying to raise money for it, trying to get investors, realizing that's harder than writing it. And then, yeah, a lot of shifts throughout the way. You know, I started out wanting to raise the money for everything so that I can make it and produce it and do post-production, have all that paid for. But that was taking forever long. So a couple friends of mine suggested, like, encouraged me to just raise the money somehow to what I need to shoot it, to make the thing, and then worry about the rest later. Mm-hmm. So that's what we did. So we shot it last year for 22 days, I think.
Was it filmed in Lakeland mainly?
Yep, almost all. There was one day in Orlando, but everything else was in Lakeland, and it like was written to take place in Lakeland. It was written for Lakeland.
Where was it? Was it filmed downtown or in
houses?
Yeah, man,
we had amazing locations, and they were all donated to us, which was fantastic. So Catapult, we filmed a couple of days in Catapult. Their classrooms, and then at the LEDC office, 801 East Main, we were there for several days. That's where like the support group meets in the movie, which it's pretty, like, it's awesome when you just show up to a location and it like looks amazing. You don't have to do anything to it. That
yeah,
was fantastic.
It's just there.
And almost every location we did, a gas station, a warehouse on the corner, and then probably where our biggest location, one spot we were at the whole time, was Mosswood Manor, the big yellow Victorian house over on Lake
Morton, right?
Morton,
off
yes.
Of Morton? Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. That's a really cool house. That's yeah. Where you guys had the fundraiser, right?
That's where we did one of our fundraisers.
Christmas or something?
Yes, mm-hmm. Which was awesome. I mean, Ken and Ray, they've lived there for 25 years, and it's built in 1904. Like, they had never opened it up for a tour, and so they offered, as part of the way to us for us to try to raise money.
That's just someone's house.
Yeah.
Oh, see,
really
yeah, I was
there.
Wondering.
They live
like,
there.
I thought it was lit, like, because I ride my bike right by there all the time, and I'm always like, yeah, because I knew you guys did the fundraiser, so I thought maybe it was like one of those, you know, kind of like Bach Tower, like had
yeah,
like that house
like
out there,
yeah.
like maybe it was just a.
No, they live there. Yeah, and they just do like amazing decorations for it at Christmas mm-hmm. every year, and so they offered to have a fundraiser there, which was like stuff like that what happened throughout the whole thing, like people just going above and beyond. A lot of my friends who have made films before that were involved in this kept telling me like, this is never gonna happen again. Like, you don't realize how good you have it with all these people being involved, all the people who helped on set and volunteers and donating food and time and all that. We got $40,000 donated. Like, it's not like that's one sentence, but that was really like 2 years worth of work for that $40,000. But it was through two crowdfunding campaigns, some individual donations. We actually did three crowdfunding campaigns, but our first one we failed. So
Kickstarter or something?
Yeah, we did Kickstarter first, and we just had too high of a, like, it was $75,000. Like, our goal was just too high. We actually got to $35,000, so if it was Indiegogo, we would have gotten more, but Kickstarter is all or nothing, so we did not get any of that. And then we did, like, a month later, did another one on Kickstarter for just a $15,000 goal, or 20, something, I think it was 20. Just because we knew we could get that with people who donated the other way, donated the first time. And then after production, we did another crowdfunding campaign on a site called Seed and Spark, which is specifically for films. And that we raised another, I don't remember exactly, 20,000 or so. That way, somehow it worked out. I guess that one was 15, so that was less, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and I just know, like, it's, I don't know, I feel like the next time, I think people will still, I want to make another movie, so I know there will be another movie, and I'm hoping that a lot of people will want to help out. But I feel like it's something different when you're like, help me make my first movie. Like, this is a thing I've always wanted to do. And have help me make my second movie. Like, people...
And believe in me.
Right.
For no reason.
Yeah. I feel like next time, and I want to, like, next time I feel like I should be able to pay people. You know, like, right. Because they deserve it. And I've done it once. So, yeah, I mean, filmmaking is a very expensive art to get into. And I don't think I, like, grasped that before I started this feature film. Like, with my shorts, it would be me and my camera and maybe a light or two, you know, starting off. And then I'd slowly get, like, a little bit of a bigger crew. But, yeah, I mean, when you're doing 22 days of production over a month in all these different locations and, you know, a total of like 25 actors, not including needing like, you know, 150 extras. And it's a lot, it's a lot. So we had an amazing team. So many of them volunteered their time.
You had 150 extras?
Probably more than that over, I mean, because we had like a town hall scene that needed a bunch of people. We had a 5K scene that we needed to look like was an actual 5K.
Where'd you film the town hall?
Town hall was at St. David's Episcopal Church. They have, not in their sanctuary, it was in a fellowship hall that they have, which they've been amazing and helpful throughout this whole time. And then, the 5K we did at like Lake Mirror, which was really great. Yeah.
And the actors, are they from Lakeland? Are they from all over?
A few of them are. Definitely some of the day players, the people who would have like one line at a time, they were from Lakeland. A lot of them came from Orlando and Tampa, our lead, Steven, came from Atlanta, and one or two other actors there. And then Melissa Malone, who I was talking about playing this game with, she's in New Jersey. She lives in New Jersey, but her family lives here. She grew up here, so she just came back to visit while we're doing it.
Has it made you feel like you're more like a part of how you said Oasis was a community, you guys belong to a community. Do you feel like you have a film community now?
Are you talking about like filmmakers? Like
filmmaker, people who... Yeah, filmmakers.
Like we just had our cast and crew screening. It's odd because like you come together for... Several of the people I'd been working on with for a while, like Mary Galetta and Mercedes Granger, who did hair and makeup, and Mercedes did wardrobe. And so she had been, they were there all day, every day. And I barely paid them anything. It's not even considered, I can't say that I paid them because that's.
You bought them some coffee.
Yeah, it was. So we all came together for like a month to do this thing, and then it's done, and everyone else, like they all go back to their lives, but I'm stuck with like 12 terabytes of footage that I've got to put into this story, and I had never edited anything that size before. So it's weird because like I say like when I had our cast and crew screening, everyone kind of came back together, which is awesome. We had like 150 people there. And we did it at the Polk Theater. And then, so I saw all these people, but it was like, I've been seeing you every day, which is a little creepy. I've been seeing you every day, but like, we're finally hanging out again. So yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
And that was another thing that I've been told over and over again, that just like the relationships on set and the time that we had creating it were amazing. And want to get together with them as much as possible. So thankfully a lot of them are local. So that's really cool.
No, I'm really excited to see. So how can it, like, when is it coming out? I know you're going to festivals.
I don't know. That's what's driving me crazy. And I'm being rather obsessive about it, and it's wasting too much of my time in my life right now.
Well, it's gotta be frustrating because you don't want things to be like dated or something. I mean, I don't know if it would be dated,
I will tell you that, I mean, when I first started writing it, was in the summer of 2014. That was like when I got the idea. And then that fall, I like wrote it, that September or whatever, which I guess is summer. But then in 2015, the summer of, because, all right, so I guess, like, I kind of brushed over what the movie is about, ultimately.
Yeah, go back.
Like, I went to, like, bigger picture themes. But ultimately, it's about, like, the thing that got me started, the idea that intrigued me initially was the tension between the church and the LGBTQ community. Mm-hmm. And that that's kind of like it is a major point of conversation. And a lot of people who grew up like me grew up believing that is not an acceptable way to live. And we're told a lot of misinformation about just, there's just a lot of misinformation put out there about orientation and sexuality in general. So as I grew up and started meeting people and realizing that these people that I was meeting they don't line up with the reality that I was taught, really started asking me, leading to questions, and that's kind of what birthed this movie, is these questions. So that tension is what that was the first time I've had, like, oh, this thing is worth a movie story, you know, like. So the story of the movie is really about a conservative conservative Christian professor who he just started teaching because he was a family counselor and that practice kind of fell over. That's when we meet him. His counseling practice fell apart for reasons we find out in the movie, so I can't say too much. So it's about him really kind of interacting with the LGBT community for the first time. He's taught against them and he's said things about them, but finally meeting them and interacting with them and kind of realizing that he didn't have all the information. So I was writing this in 2014, and then in 2015, marriage equality was passed. You know, the laws changed about that. And I, for a little bit, thought, well, this isn't an issue anymore, so I kind of missed my window for this movie. And then elections and voices started rising up again, so I think it's still a matter of, you know, it's still a big conversation to be had, and I think that's actually like my initial thought of that, of, oh, this isn't an issue anymore, mm-hmm. is kind of like the epitome of white straight privilege. That, like, oh, I guess you can get married now, you're good, right? Like, that's, we're good.
We did it.
yeah, and clearly that's not the case. And kind of the through line for the movie is really about LGBTQ youth who are facing religious rejection. So, the big kind of glaring thing is about homeless kids who are experiencing homelessness because of religious rejection or their parents kick them out. But that's one part of, like, religious rejection because of sexuality or orientation or gender identity is much bigger than that. And that's what pushes toward the higher suicide rate for them. So, yeah, this is not an issue that's going away, sadly, anytime soon. That conversation needs to be had. And it's so sad because, like, I think one of the most frustrating parts about it is that it's so much misinformation and people aren't listening. People are talking, but people aren't listening. And I'm hoping that the movie helps people to say, like, it's okay to listen for a little while. Like, that's what it is. Like, that's what I feel like Dave, the main character's whole thing is, like, I think I just need to listen for a little while. Mm-hmm. Which I think we're finding that about a lot of topics. That the people who have been speaking for a long time should probably just listen, including me right now. I've been talking a lot.
No, it's good. We want you to talk. Okay, so you don't know what's going to come out, but...
Right. So, the window is clearly not closed for this conversation, but I just want to get it out. Like, I want people to see this thing we've been working on for so long. But there are the festival process, with it being a small budget movie with no huge stars in the movie, like, it's like I, in order to get kind of distribution, I feel like I'm going to have to have a pretty good festival run. And in order to do that, you have to wait for festivals. So
are you going to try the one? I mean, the only ones that, you know, I think of like Sundance.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
Like, are you
going
to try?
Yes, I and 13,000 other people submitted to Sundance this past year. And I was in the, what is it like? I've read the thing, but it's like 97% of people did not get in. So,
oh.
Right. So, but that's expected. And it's, like I told my DP when I got the email, like, now we have something to push for in the next one. Like, you know, I feel like early success, early like crazy success like that is, I mean, it's awesome in one aspect, but I feel like it can be dangerous. So that's what I'm telling myself.
So there's a bunch.
The big ones are like Sundance, South by Southwest, Tribeca, and so I have gotten my rejection letters from Sundance and South by Southwest. I'm still waiting on my rejection letter from Tribeca. That's the last big one that we have to hear from. I should hear that within the next month or so. So like the next plan B is some awesome regional festivals. So. Yeah. I mean, there's Atlanta, which has become a pretty big one that I should hear from in the next couple of weeks. And but there's a bunch of awesome Florida ones, like Florida Film Festival in Orlando is in April. And they're all kind of in April, which is interesting. There's Gasparilla, there's it's in St. Pete, but the Sunscreen Festival, Sarasota. So yeah, we submitted to like 22 festivals at this point. And we're kind of waiting to see like what the biggest festival we can have the premiere at, just to get the most media exposure for the premiere. And then, I mean, my hope is to have it, you know, play at 10 festivals throughout this year, to kind of, that'll help build the audience, and then we'll distribute it somehow. Definitely be on iTunes and Amazon Prime and that.
Are you looking into like how, I don't know how it works, people release on Netflix, like is that a...
Yeah, so I mean, there's a couple of ways. I mean, Netflix could, if Netflix buys a lot of things, just to, like become a Netflix movie. So, not all of the things that are Netflix originals were like started with them. A lot of every distributor, Amazon, everything, they buy things once they're done and then release it as an original. So that's a possibility, but it really, like at that point, like you can submit it to a bunch of distributors and it really just comes down to like money. Can you make your money back that you spent on it? Because we had $40,000 donated, but then we also had the rest of the money that got spent was out of pocket. So it's not like we've made any money. You know, it's cost us a lot to make it. So, I mean, the goal is to find some sort of distribution that can make us our money back and hopefully set us up to make another movie so that we can go to investors next time and say, we made this movie for this amount and we were able to make our money back and some profit, so will you invest in our next movie?
Yeah.
That's the plan.
Do you already have a next movie script?
I don't have a script.
Thank you.
I have two or three ideas. I have two or three ideas, and most of them are just as, I feel like, controversial in a different way as the church LGBT thing, and that's not, like, good business sense from a, you know, but that's what I feel drawn, like, that's the story, that's what intrigues me. So that's the kind of stories I want to make, you know? So I can't see, because when I started at the end of the day, I knew it was going to be hard, and I knew I was getting myself in over my head, but I thought it was going to go a lot faster than, and from what I hear from other people, like 4 years is still really fast to go from idea to having a film made. And that's been mainly because, like, that's been my focus. That's what I've spent most of my creative energy on for the past couple of years, and obviously still keeping Journey Box going and putting out Journey Box stuff. But
so, is it ready? Like, because I think you had screenings where it wasn't quite.
Yeah.
Finished.
So last summer we did a couple of test screenings. We had to cut a couple of scenes out, and we needed outside opinions on what we just needed to shorten it a little bit, and what wasn't working. or what was working. And then, so at that point, it wasn't done. It had like temporary music in it and not nearly enough music, and coloring and audio was just, it wasn't done yet. So yeah, so now we're in the middle of the, everything is done except for the coloring. So that's happening now. I have a colorist in St. Pete who's working on it, and I go over for a day session and give him notes and feedback, and then he works on it throughout his rest of his week. And then, so it's like, and it's been kind of in that stage since December, November, December. So, and that's what's like, so like, I just want to get this thing out. And that, I think, that's what frustrated me more about, like, I didn't expect to get into Sundance, just again, because of nature of reality. I didn't expect to get in. And what I was more frustrated about when I did get their letter was like, not that I didn't get into Sundance, but now, like, the next festival that we would do wouldn't be for 2 or 3 months later. So like, I've got to wait longer for it to get out. So that's what, like, I just want to show people and talk to them about it, you know?
I want to see it. And I'm like, when am I going to see it?
I know.
One of my friends, Carissa Barber, she was like, hey, you want to come to the screening? Like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, but I couldn't. It was like, wasn't like a Tuesday or something.
She could have talked. Oh, yeah. It was a Tuesday night.
I couldn't go. So I was like, dang it. I was like, finally, let's see it.
Yeah, sorry. So close. Yeah, I'm like, I can't wait to get it out and show people. Like, I mean, it is a micro budget movie, but I feel like, I don't think you would realize that when you watch it, you know, like if you didn't know, it looks fantastic. My crew was amazing. Brandon Hyde was the director of photography, who I could not have done this movie without. There was a period of time where like we didn't know how we were going to find the money to shoot it. And Teresa was like, you can do it. You just shoot it yourself. Like, that's what you've done your whole life. Like, you can do it yourself. And there's just no, like, there was just so many things going on that would have been a terrible. Like, I appreciate the confidence she had in me, but that would have.
A room situation. Well, he had a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah.
He just had bad choices.
It just would have, it would just, yeah, I mean.
Poor decision making.
We look at pictures from back then, from that, because, you know, it's a year, it's almost like, it's a year later right now, like, so I'm getting a lot of memories, you know, on Facebook about it, and I'm just, like, I don't know how it happened. Like, I don't know how we did it. Like, it's a miracle. It's just a miracle that movies happen in general. It's like so many parts, and that it makes sense. It's amazing.
Did you just go?
I did. I went there. Yeah. So I am very excited to get it out, and we are going to have a premiere at some point or a showing at Polk Theater, which is awesome. That was from the very beginning. Yeah. From the very beginning of making. Of saying I want to do this all in Lakeland and writing it for Lakeland and all that, like a dream was going to be to have it premiere at Polk Theater, and it looks like we'll be able to do that hopefully in the next month or so. So depending on how the festivals go, but yeah, the theater has been incredibly helpful and supportive of us throughout this whole thing. They helped us having our. Yep, I just got 9 points.
I forgot about my thing. Shoot, I haven't
your
even
your monastery.
I've just been building a road over here. It's awful.
So I'm very excited to get it out and to really show what I get. Someone, one of the cast and crew that saw it said that it's like a love letter to Lakeland, just because like it's all filmed in Lakeland and it's got some of our favorite places in Lakeland. So yeah, I love that we're able to do it here and that not only is it a story about changing our viewpoints on things or being open-minded, but I feel like it kind of captures what the people of Lakeland are about. For
that's awesome.
Moving forward.
Perfect. So you guys plan on staying? Well, as far as you can plan, like, do you plan on staying in Lakeland?
Yeah, we have no idea, no plans of leaving. We love Lakeland. Teresa and I laugh a lot because it feels like a lot of times Lakeland loves talking about how awesome Lakeland is. And while it's true that Lakeland is awesome, I'm like, all right, there are other things to talk about. But it's funny because when I had the premiere. So Therese and I were talking about this, and then we had the cast and crew screening of the movie, and I'm like, I'm such a hypocrite because like I'm gonna go up there and say how awesome Lakeland is because they came together in such an amazing way to help us shoot this movie. So yeah, I certainly could not have done it without Lakeland being as awesome as it is, even though I feel like I hear that all the time. And maybe it's just because it's true. So we don't, yeah, we don't plan on leaving anytime. Yeah. I mean, we have three kids and they're all in, I just gave you points.
Yes.
They're all in school and they, you know, we love the schools they're in and their friends and the community that we have. So I wouldn't want to like move somewhere else to do movies as a career. I would just want to do them here. Mm-hmm. So I just want to make smaller movies and set them here or not.
We love that Kevin wants to stay in Lakeland to pursue his filmmaking and wish him all the best in his endeavors.
21 plus 6 is 27.
I won?
Oh my gosh.
But the important thing for you guys to take away from this interview is that I totally beat Kevin in that game of Carcassonne. Thanks for listening to this episode of Vibe, and a huge thank you to Kevin for coming out to talk with us.
Good. Awkward hug. See ya. Sip some coffee. Lakeland's awesome.
And to Hillcrest Coffee for letting us use their awesome back room. If you're interested in coming to the Lakeland screening of Kevin's film at the end of the day, visit polktheater.org. Be sure to subscribe wherever you catch your podcasts and look out for our next City of Lakeland-themed episode coming soon. Follow us at LakelandGov on social media, and for anything else city-related, visit lakelandgov.net.